Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It is so good to be with you. Thank you for joining us as we study God's Word. The Bible is always relevant and good for all who study it. Even though it was written a long time ago, it has proven and continues to prove it is a timeless treasure. All who are willing to spend time in its pages won't stay the same. And that is our goal today. May each of us become more like the author as we study together. Last time was our first lesson from the book of Mark. J. Mark gave us the background and context to better understand this book. He mentioned the unique writing style of Mark. And I say it again because it's an aspect of Mark we do well to keep in mind. The word immediately or straightway, depending on the version you use, along with its synonyms, is found about 40 times in this book. Mark's goal seems to be conciseness and brevity. He omits the long discourses found in the other Gospels. Keep this in mind as we study through Mark. He keeps things moving, and he doesn't spend too much time on any one story. Today, our lesson begins with John the Baptist and what he was doing to prepare the way for Christ. Turn to Mark 1, and we will start at the beginning with Pastor J. Mark Horst.
Preparation is a significant part of any task. When I have a task to fulfill, I want to know what's expected of me. And the Bible teaches us that preparations are important to God, too. In 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul wrote that the preparations for our salvation were made before God created the world. That's amazing. Hebrews 11:7 says that Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. In the opening of his gospel, Mark describes the preparation that God made before Jesus began his public ministry. And this theme of preparation is repeated numerous times in our text for today. Because of this emphasis, I've titled my teaching, Preparing the Way, and our text is Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Listen carefully for this theme as I read these verses from Holy Scripture. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In this text, we find several essential aspects of preparing the way for the gospel. And although the historical situation in our text is unique, these aspects remain relevant for you and me today. The first essential aspect of preparing the way is the mandate. Mark begins his gospel with a statement of fact. He is sharing the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ, and of course the name Jesus is derived from the Hebrew Yeshua. It means Yahweh is salvation, and it was a common name. To that, Mark added Christ or Christos, or the Hebrew Mashiach. This is translated as the Messiah or the Anointed One. Mark further states that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the Son of God. In other words, Jesus Christ was God himself in human form. Mark acknowledges that Jesus didn't burst onto the world scene without warning. He provides two quotes from different Old Testament prophets. The first prophecy is a partial quote from Malachi 3 and verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. And then the second prophecy is taken from Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Mark exclaims, "A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." And then he adds the phrase, "Make his paths straight." The word paths means a track or a road. The Roman roads of Mark's day enabled royal messengers to carry the proclamations of the emperor or governor. And so the mandate for this prophetic messenger was to remove any obstacles that would hinder the proclamation of the gospel. In both prophecies, you probably noticed, a way is being prepared. Now, the coming of Jesus in human form was a one-time historical event, marking the sharing of the gospel. However, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is still our mandate today. We are his messengers. We are tasked with removing obstacles to his message. What are those obstacles, and how can we remove them? We'll delve into the details of that further as we work our way through this text. For now, we should ponder the question, what am I doing to fulfill the mandate of preparation? There's another essential aspect of preparing the way. It is the messenger. If you have a message, you need a messenger, and preparation involves a person or people. In preparing the way for Jesus and his message, that person was John, the baptizing one. That distinguishes him from many other men who had the same name and lived during that time. John came just as the prophets had declared, and his coming signaled the beginning of a new era, a new dispensation. In Mark's narrative, John the Baptist seems to emerge from nowhere, appearing suddenly on the scene. He appeared in the wilderness, and he began preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Right now, let's bypass the message and continue to focus on the messenger. The response of the people to this unusual messenger was exciting. Word of this man and his ministry spread, and day after day a steady stream of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem trekked out into the wilderness to see him. John's rugged appearance and his demeanor were both drawing factors. He was a prophet in the mold of Elijah. His clothing was made from the crudest kind of rough cloth of camel's hair, and it was secured around his waist with a leather belt. The Judean wilderness is very barren. I've seen it. There's not much there to eat. But Mark says that part of John's diet consisted of locust. And in addition, due to the rugged terrain in this area, bees often construct their nests in the crevices of the rocky cliffs. And so this honey was another part of John's simple diet. John was preaching. Incidentally, the word preacher means a messenger. You and I are the Lord's messengers today. And like John, we will sometimes seem out of touch with modern sensibilities. Like him, we will need to take a stand for the truth, even if it endangers our possessions or our security, maybe even our physical lives. John's refusal to compromise the truth about the permanence of marriage caused him to lose his head to Herod. You may remember the story. So what kind of messenger are you? Do you understand the call of God on your life? Are you willing to proclaim God's word despite what it may cost? And are you willing to forgo the world's approval and acclaim to have the approval of the one who sent you? The final aspect of preparing the way, then, is the message. So we have the mandate, the messenger, and now the message. What was John's message, and how does it apply to you and me today? The text says he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A baptism for forgiveness? For John to preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins indicated that he was either a lunatic or a prophet from God. John was preparing the way, as I said earlier, for a new dispensation. Now we know from the entire scope of New Testament teaching that baptism isn't the means of salvation. It is, however, an essential part of our obedience. John's message was the need for repentance, and baptism was simply an outward expression of a genuinely repentant heart. Verse 5 says that those who were flocking out of Jerusalem and Judea to see this unusual prophet were being baptized and were confessing their sins. Confession is agreeing with God about how He sees my sin and your sin. Our sin is ugly, and it separates us from Him. Confession is the evidence of repentance. No confession, no repentance. And a crucial aspect of this confession, that it was public. You know, if sin is hidden, it grows and it spreads. Public confession provides accountability. And it was also a personal confession. It was public and it was personal. Each one who came to John's baptism acknowledged that their old way of living was unfit for this coming kingdom. Their sins obstructed the path to salvation. To prepare the way for the Lord, their sins needed to be removed. Now today we're told, come to Jesus just as you are. Well, you know something, that's true, but it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is you must confess your sins and agree with what God says about them. And that confession is motivated by repentance, a change of mind, and a change of direction. You can come to Jesus just as you are. In fact, you should. But He loves you too much to let you stay that way. You can't come to Jesus and continue living in rebellion against His commands. Genuine heart change will give you a desire to obey Him, to live for His glory. You will also give Him the freedom to remove anything from your life that displeases Him. But there was more to John's proclamation. He wasn't finished. His message was preparing the way. He said, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. In the customs of that time, unloosing the sandal of a guest was a job that was assigned to the lowest slave in the household. Mark alone provides this detail regarding the loosening of the sandal strap. John the Baptist modeled the message he was proclaiming. But John still wasn't finished. He said, I have baptized you in water, but He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. John's baptism was both meaningful and symbolic. It pointed forward to something much more powerful and lasting, the presence of the Holy Spirit. John's mandate was given to him by God, and you and I share that same mandate. We are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John was a messenger to prepare the way for the Lord. While you and I may not have the same impact or visibility that John did, we too have been called to be messengers for Him. And finally, we have been given a message that the world so desperately needs. It is the same message that the apostles preached. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. John the Baptist came preparing the way for the Messiah's first coming. How are you and I preparing the way for Messiah's return?
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this lesson with us. I like how he ended by asking us how we are preparing for Christ's second coming. Great question to think about. I believe one of the first things we have to do is expect Him. Are we living with an eye on the sky, looking for Him to come soon? If the answer is no, then you are not prepared for His return. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you would like to contact us, please do. You can reach us by email or internet. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. There, click on the Contact Us, which is on the top right, and there you can message us directly. We'd love to hear from you, so contact us however it works best for you. Blessings as you prepare and look for the second coming of our great King. He said it best when He said, "What I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch." When Jesus splits the sky, may He find you and I watching for Him.